And if you'd like to turn back to the very first reading, which is printed there over the page that's marked Isaiah chapter 9, maybe that'll help you just for a few moments now. Well, welcome again to our carol service. My name's Philip and I'm one of the ministers here, and it's great to have you here, and I hope that this is a really good start to your festive season. I don't know how big you are into Christmas decorations. I don't know how early your Christmas decorations went up, whether you had them or not, whether you were a kind of December person or even a November person. I don't know how big you are on Christmas lights, but some people, they really go for it, don't they? David Richards in Canberra, he holds the current world record for the largest number of Christmas lights on a tree. 500,000 Christmas lights on one tree. Here's what the report says. Richards, a Canberra lawyer and businessman, brought together a team of volunteers, including an electrical engineer, structural engineer, welders, carpenters, masons, and steel fixers, to erect the dazzling display on a 72-foot steel tree. Now that is what I call a tree. I guess the electricity bill is going to be pretty high this year for them. And of course, there are the Christmas jumpers. I've seen a few here amongst you already wearing your Christmas jumpers. Maybe we can have a sort of competition later and decide which one we think is the best. But a friend of mine called Joe, he bought himself a Christmas jumper with lights in it, with flashing lights. And his wife is French, and they have a big gathering every couple of years. And they were in a chateau, actually, last year. And all the family were gathered, and think fine French wine, fine French food, and high couture. They are all immaculately dressed, apart from Joe. Joe walked in with his Christmas jumper, with the flashing lights, and then the penny dropped, and he realised that Christmas jumpers had not yet made it to Paris. Slightly embarrassing, as one of her cousins turned to him and said, "Do you want to be let back into the country?" Well, we use Christmas lights like here. We use them to celebrate, don't we, if we're into Christmas decorations. And this passage is no different whatsoever. Because, you see, this is a celebration. And yet it is a celebration with a difference. Because here, it is God who switches on the lights. This year, it was Kylie Minogue that had the privilege of switching on the Oxford Street Christmas lights. But here it is God who promises to switch on the lights. Take a look back at your reading at sentence 2. Let me read it. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." God switches on the lights. That is what he is promising. Except it is even more extraordinary when we think what that means. It was a dark time, you see, for God's people. Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus' birth, and it was a very dark time indeed. It wasn't China or the USA that was the superpower. It was Assyria, and they had invaded, and it was shocking what they did. If you go to the British Museum down the road, you can see it on the Assyrian reliefs in history. They captured people, they killed them, they even flayed them alive. Tore their skin off whilst they were still alive. Shocking. It was a dark time. It was a gloomy time. And it was a war situation. Think Syria today. Think something like that. And shockingly though, even more shockingly, it was a situation of their own making. For thousands of years, they'd known God. They'd seen that he was a God that they could trust in, absolutely. And yet they threw it all back in his face. They rejected him. And of course they did some religious things still. Maybe they even sung a few carols. But they rejected him. They didn't know him. And so he rejected them in turn. And this gloomy situation was, if you like, the sentence that was brought upon them. And it is into this situation, therefore, that God speaks and says, "I'm switching on the lights." We live in a world that is, in some respects, different to that, of course. But nevertheless, it can be pretty gloomy, can't it? Maybe some of us find Christmas hard. And of course, there are still a few Scrooges around, aren't there, who don't really like Christmas. I love Christmas. I love all that goes with it. And I'm looking forward to the mulled wine and mince pies later. But in the news, Christmas, well, we look at the news and we think, ISIS, Syria, dark, gloomy. 300,000 deaths so far in Syria, they reckon. Refugee crisis, lives in a mess. Paris, bombings, deaths. Shocking, isn't it? Gloomy. We live in a messed up world, it seems, where there doesn't seem to be the amount of peace that we want. And into this situation, God promises that he will switch on the lights. But for God to do that means something much bigger. It means much bigger than fairy lights or candles. It means a new world. So first of all then, a perfect new world, a perfect new world. In verse 4, Isaiah is talking about a day in the future, a future day. And this is the ultimate in budget cuts this day. Just imagine for a moment, the UK spends $60 billion on the military, and the US spends $600 billion on the military. Well, this is the ultimate in budget cuts. As God turns on the light and that an army is never ever needed ever again. We see a picture of flames of a fire, and I love log fires, but this one is different because it is as if our boys come home and all of their camouflage uniforms, their boots, their weapons, everything, all of it, their backpacks, everything is on a huge bonfire because they are never ever needed again. We just don't need them anymore in this perfect world. Because there is no more war. No more limbs blown off by landmines. No more body bags. No more knife crimes. Death by knives. No more 999 calls. No more ambulance service. No more NHS. Can you imagine that? All of that gone. Maybe as I say that, you are here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're thinking, but surely religion is part of the problem. And yet in what has been the bloodiest century on record, we only need to think of Pol Pot and Stalin and people like that who were atheists. No, God, he provides the solution. And it has to be a new world for all of this stuff to stop. All the war to be done away with. And that is what God is promising. This is actually what Christians mean when they talk about heaven. Not a cloud existence up there, but a totally new world down here. The old one completely replaced with something that is wonderful. So first of all then, a perfect world. But secondly, a perfect world leader. A perfect world leader. I have here a birth announcement which I received recently from some friends. Hudson Robin Caspian, born 12th of May 2015, weighing 8 pounds. And all the photos are very sweet. And I've met him, he is very sweet. But he is an ordinary little boy. But this baby, this one who will grow to be the leader, is not ordinary at all. And it is the names that tell us that. Now, my name is Philip, and Philip means lover of horses. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you're a Philip, and now you've discovered what your name really means. And my mother was a regional dressage champion, and maybe she hoped that at 2012, I would be there, and I would medal. Well, I was there in 2012, in the aquatic centre, watching the swimming. Not on a horse. Very sad, isn't it? But this baby has very special names. Four names, in fact. The first is this. I don't know if you noticed that. Look down again at the passage. Wonderful Counselor. Did you see that there in verse 6? Wonderful Counselor. Now, that doesn't mean some extra special kind of therapist that maybe some of our celebrities that we read about in the news that would go to. It means his counsel is wonderful. He is wonderful in counsel. He is wise. He knows how to lead. He knows how to rule. But that's not all. Mighty God. Mighty God. He's got the strength to be in charge. He's not like Santa, who's kind of in charge of the presents one day a year and then disappears out of the picture. He knows what to do, and he can do it. And what's more, he's not like Obama or Cameron or some of our other world leaders. He's not just going to take charge for 4 years and then kind of disappear off the scene. Everlasting Father. Everlasting, no short shelf life. And like a father who cares deeply. Now, I know as I say that, maybe some of us haven't had the best experience of fathers. But this father is different. He is perfect in every way. He never shrugs his shoulders and says whatever. Never a tyrant. Never abusive. Always perfect. And finally, Prince of Peace. He brings peace, true peace, lasting peace. Everlasting peace. An end to war. This is the leader that we need. Perfect in every way. Knows what to do, can do it, wants to do it, cares about it. That is the kind of leader, that is the kind of person that you can trust. That you can trust with your life. That we can trust with this world. In fact, that we can trust to bring in a new world, a perfect new world. Don't you want someone like that? Don't you want someone like that to take charge this year? Well, who is it? Who is this person? Well, I guess we know the answer. I guess this isn't going to be a surprise. 700 years later, a baby born in an ordinary place, in a cattle feeding trough. Jesus, Jesus Christ, God in human form. That is the one. He is the leader. God, you see, he gave us at Christmas time the best gift that he could. Himself. That is what he did. And he fits the prediction perfectly. We only need to look at his life in the pages of history. He had an amazing ability to teach, wonderful counselor. He healed the sick just like that. He raised the dead. He raised himself from the dead. Mighty God. He had amazing compassion, the compassion of a father, everlasting father. And he brings peace, ultimately through his own death on the cross, reconciling us to him so that we can live in a perfect world. Again, Prince of Peace. Now, the trouble is that our world is not like that, is it? So is this a con? Is this make-believe? Do we just have to pretend just for a few days a year? Well, no. We just need to get our timing right. Because when Jesus returns, he will bring in a perfect new world. And it is his resurrection from the dead that confirms that he will do that. So don't you want someone like that? Don't you want someone like that to switch on the lights this Christmas? Don't you want a leader like that? Well, I guess if we're honest, a lot of the time the answer is no. We want to be in charge. We want to be the leaders of our own lives. And when we do that, well, everything ends up a mess, doesn't it? We struggle to run our own lives. We struggle to run our own world. And that is what we see in our world so often, don't we? And so we need someone to come and sort that out, sort out the mess. Obama, Cameron, Merkel, they can't do it. Boris, not even Boris can't. He was cycling past the other day, and I saw him, and I was wondering whether he was going to fall off his bike. His bike didn't look quite set up quite right. Well, not even Boris can sort out our world. No, we need a perfect king. We need Jesus to do that. I don't know what you do for presents at Christmas time. I don't know whether you give lots of presents or not, whether you're expectant about what Santa is going to bring this year. I don't know whether you do a secret Santa, maybe in your firm, in your department or something like that. Well, I did one with friends a couple of years ago. And it was pretty random, actually, what people gave. There were some kangaroo meat sausages. A flamingo hat was in there as well. A large Costco jar of peanut butter was in there as well. And a Lionel Rich tea mug. Some odd things. And some people were really sneaky. What they did is they got a small present. And then they put a box around that. And then put another box around that. A really big box to make you think this is absolutely massive. So some people were really thinking, I've hit the jackpot. And it was absolutely tiny. Well, God, this Christmas time, does not offer us something random or something small. Very often, I think, our Christmas desires, the things that we wish for, the things that we shop for, are pretty small when it comes down to it. When you compare it to what's on offer here, a perfect new world through a perfect world leader. Don't you want that? Don't you want God to switch on the lights this Christmas time like that? Happy Christmas.